before the beginning of the year that we want to begin to release some of these gifts, at least, these people are already ministering, but here to the body on Wednesday nights. And we just finished up in February. Paulette had a wonderful series. And if you weren't able to be here for them all, you can go on our website and click just look up her name, or if you know the title, but you can look up Paulette Paramore and you can pull it up and listen to it. But this month, I asked Dwayne and Faith Sear, most of you know who they are, I asked them if they would teach this whole month of March. And they're going to be teaching on everyday kingdom living, or let the church be the church. Did I get that right? Hallelujah. So I want you to give them a big God bless you. We want to welcome guys. Come on. It's all yours. Take your liberty.
Praise God. Thank you. Yeah, we got...
We're not
going to
do it that way.
Praise God. I'm excited. We recently closed our church down, Jubilee Ministry Center, so I haven't really preached for a while. But when I grow up, I'm older than Pastor, but when I grow up, I want to be just like him. I am so excited about being here and being a member here, that I come so excited to hear what God's dealing in his heart and what he gives us. And I'm growing. I am growing by leaps and bounds. He's bringing out scriptures that are just knocking me back. And I get excited and I'm back on the job preaching every week on the things he teaches. I keep the notes. I got a file with all the notes and every Sunday. So it's just exciting to be here and given an opportunity. I got a scripture I just want to read to you. It's Romans 1:8-12. And it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some means now, at least, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established." That is, I should have put all the we and our in there. "That we may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Amen. When I come here, my faith wells up because of you. Not only the pastor, but because of you. And our faith together, we should be welling up in our faith, building ourselves up in our most holy faith for what God is doing in Boynton Beach. This is my hometown, born and raised. I still live on the same street. I'm excited about Boynton Beach. I'm excited that God brought Pastor and Cindy here in Boynton Beach to get the work done for the kingdom of God. I mean, I know you all move here, but Boynton is, I mean, I know every nook and cranny where I used to hide from the police, and what some of you don't know, some of you do. This used to be an A&P, and the donut aisle was right over here, and I used to steal donuts and come over here and eat them in the aisle, yeah. So, I mean, praise God, that's where I sit right there, that's why I sit there, is the donut aisle, praise God. And we just want to greet you. We want to say thank you that you're here, that we're given an opportunity to minister to you. And we do. We want the gifting that God has given to us, to the body of Christ, to just well up in you and to be imparted to you for what God is going to be doing in these days. Amen?
Amen.
Our title is Everyday Kingdom Living, or Let the Church Be the Church. So for the Wednesdays we have with you, we've broken our message up into the who, the what, and the how.
All right.
And that is... the who we are, what we're about, and how we function, or more simply put, how we do it.
Amen.
John Wimber, when he got saved and started reading about all the things in the Bible about raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out demons, he found himself a church, and when they got all done with all their praise and worship and the preaching and all that, he stood up and he asked the question, when do we get to do this stuff?
Yeah.
When do we get to do the stuff?
Come on.
That's what we're about. We need to be doing the stuff. And it doesn't matter if you're just freshly born again or if you're 60 years old in the Lord. We should be doing the stuff.
Yes.
Amen. That's what this is, and this is what our heart is. Praise God.
Amen.
And it's not just we. It's when I says who we are, it's who we are.
Yes.
And pastors, a lot of what we've got God's put on our heart is has to deal with what the pastor has been teaching about the gifts and how every joint supplieth. And I mean, he used an illustration I used one time. And if the, you know, a lot of people don't want to go to church anymore. They've been hurt or whatever. They don't want to go to church, but they say they're connected to the head. Yeah. Well, I don't need church. I'm connected to the head. He used that analogy. I used it with a foot. Can you imagine if a foot is connected to the head? What a freak that would be. The foot needs to be where the foot belongs so it can walk around and do what it's supposed to do. And every joint supplieth. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. I got an hour. So the rest of the evening is about who we are. We are the church, the body, the bride of Christ. Listen now, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. Now you need to, when I what I want you to do is, a lot of times we come and we hear the logos. I want us to hear the rhema.
Yeah.
The logos is the written word. Oh, that was good. He did good. You know, that kind of stuff. But I want us to get it in our, I want you to put on your spiritual ears. And I don't care if you get up and start dancing and shouting around. If God deposits something in your heart, get excited. Okay? And then I'll come back and touch you and get some of it. Okay? Because God does nothing but good stuff.
Amen.
Amen? So, we need to hear that we're the chosen generation. Did you hear that?
Yes.
See, when we read that, we think, okay, well, he said that to the Israelites back. You were the no, we are the chosen generation. You were born and live in this era, in this time, in this city, in this place. You go to this church, and we're the chosen generation for Boynton Beach to get the stuff done. You've got to wake up with that. Today is the day that this chosen person's got something to do for the kingdom of God and change the atmosphere and bring about the glory of God. Because we learned from Brother Sims, out of the glory is when the miracles will start happening. We got to stir it up. And you're going to get persecuted for it. That's the fun part. Ah, God. Okay.
Good introduction.
Yeah. Well, yes. We need to change the way we think.
Yes.
If I can change the way you think, I can change the way you live. Okay? We really do need to. You know, he was preaching Sunday about exhorting us about, even though in this time of famine and hard times, we still need to be givers. We still need to be tithers. Okay? Because the Bible says, let the weak say they're strong and let the poor say they're rich. And all the time he was preaching, I wanted to stand up and say, you know what? The Bible says I'm rich. It don't matter what's in my checkbook. It don't matter what's in my wallet. It, what matters is what the Word says. And it says, let the poor say they're rich. I'm rich.
Amen. I am rich.
My Lord, I'm telling you. Okay. And if you're weak or sick, I'm strong. I'm healthy. That's what it's talking about. I'm the head. I can't get in.
Go ahead.
Okay. How many times did Jesus say, what do you think? What do you think? See? He wants you to think about what you think, okay? Or even mentions thinking. In Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't just say, okay, the Bible says I'm supposed to say I'm rich, I'm rich. That's not faith. That's going to get nowhere. Without faith, it's impossible to please him because you must first believe he exists. If he exists and he wrote that, it's true. If it's true, I'm rich.
No power in that movie.
I get excited. I'm sorry. I get excited. Because, you know, every day I have to say these same things to me. I got four kids. I got a job. I got to pay insurance. I got an accident the other day. I got to pay for it. You know, I've got all this going on in my life, too. And I've got to say the same things to me as I say to you. That's why I tell everybody to be preachers. Because after you start preaching for a while, you realize you've got to live what you preach.
Come on.
Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. So start preaching. Well, a lot of people don't want to preach because then they got to live it. So if I don't tell anybody I'm a Christian, I ain't got to show anybody I'm a Christian. Or I ain't got to live up to what everybody... I just come and listen on Sunday. Start preaching. Start telling your neighbor. Start telling somebody God is good and powerful.
Okay.
My God. In a minute here, I'm going to let faith go. We've got a couple of things we'd like for you to really, in this series, and if you can, get a hold of the DVD by Lou Giglio on How Great Is Our God.
Has anybody seen that video, that DVD? Well, maybe we'll have a night at our house.
Because we're talking about the who. We're going to be talking about who you are. And this yeah, we have it in our house. You come over and we'll watch it together. Because it's all about, he gets down to, God, really created some wonderful people here. You're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
But the next part of that verse is, and I know that full well.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians don't know that full well, that they were fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And there's a purpose and a design.
Amen.
Come on. Okay. Amen. So.
And how much he loves them.
And how much he loves you.
Amen. Most people don't know that. Even Christians don't know that.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's what that DVD really tells, is how much God loves you.
Loves you. I minister prison ministries. That's why I don't come on Wednesday nights, because I'm usually in the prison ministering to boys who we minister to them on Wednesday night. After we leave, they cuss each other out, and then they think God doesn't love them anymore and that they're doomed for hell again.
Yeah.
Because they really don't understand the attribute of love that God is, his attribute of love, that his love never diminished for them, that he'll never leave them nor forsake them. But that's what they think. And I'm trying to change the way they think. And if we don't understand that God really loves you, he really loves you. He doesn't have any bad thoughts about you.
That's right.
All the thoughts he has are good for your purpose, right, for your plan, for your life.
Yes.
Which brings me to the next thing I would like you to get, which is a book written by A.W. Tozer. And you can write this down, called The Knowledge of the Holy.
Yep.
And in the first chapter, it says, he goes into the first chapter, why we must think right about God. If you have a low view, if you have a low view of God, you're really worshiping an idol. Because he's not the God of the Bible. And that's what I told the kids. You think God is holding things against you. That's not the God of the Bible. So when you pray to this God and asking him for forgiveness over and over because you think he's going to condemn you and send you to hell, you're actually praying to a false idol, because that's not the God of the Bible. And when you get and understand that God is love and the right attributes about God, and that book is all about the attributes of God and why we must think right about him. Let me quote just a couple of things. He says in the book, were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to the question, what comes into your mind when you think about God, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. When someone says, what do you think about God? And you tell me completely what you think about God, I can pretty much tell you the certainty of your future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, you know, he doesn't love me. He seems to forsake me. Buddy, you're on a doom street. But if you understand the love of God and the mercy of God and the holiness of God, and you begin to tell me the high, lofty thoughts of God, I can tell you you're well on your way.
Yes.
I can tell you that you're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. Okay, you understand? When I talk to people, within 5 minutes, I can pretty much tell you where they're at with God. People come to me for counseling, and I say, well, you haven't been reading your Bible. I can tell if you're in the mully grubs. I mean, you can't even hate anybody. If God's created someone, you can't even anger hate. You got to forgive and go on. You can't. If you hate them, you hate God. He created them.
Come on.
Oh, man. On. It's simple, but it's deep. It's good. Praise God. Low views of God destroy the gospel for all who hold them. Low views of God destroy the gospel that we want to preach. If you want to preach the gospel and you have low views of God, it destroys the gospel. If God ain't all in all, if God ain't all powerful, if God can't fill your cupboards with food, if God can't put gas in your car, if God can't meet your need or heal your marriage or save you or heal your body, if you've got any kind of low view of God, it destroys the good news.
Sure.
Amen. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. Mm-hmm. The very essence of idolatry is entertaining thoughts that are beneath who he really is. Whew.
Yeah.
Read this book. Now, here's where I'm supposed to... Oh, I got right here. Pastor said last Sunday that we need to begin to think supernaturally because we serve a supernatural God.
Amen.
Really, that's what it is. If I change the way you think, I change the way you live. And that's what this whole Wednesday is. We're going to change the way we think because God wants to do something in Boynton Beach. I'm a member of this church now and part of this body. And pastor's allowed me to use my gift to encourage you to get the work done that where we're going and where God's going to show him and lead us into the things we're doing. And that's the way you need to receive it. Supernaturally, God is going to begin to equip me, charge me up, and release me into the things. And I'm part of the process of imparting that to you at the same time imparting it to me.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And get a hold of this. So my wife says, I preached this sermon It's called my sperm sermon. We were in a race. And we swam and we swam and we swam and we won. So literally you were conceived in victory. Do you realize that? You outswam everybody else. And at the moment of conception, you were conceived in victory. You crossed the finish line. Is that right? There must be something going on here, but that's all right.
You're the only one.
And you're the only one out of millions, billions. You swam, you won. You can. Now, from that moment on, the devil's been trying to beat you down to make you feel like you're losing. If we were conceived in victory, let's live in victory and let's go out in victory. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, God. I mean, what a way to design it. I mean, God could have had us created any other way, but he had us in a race and we won. Okay? God knew you before the foundations of the world. He knew you'd be here now. Okay. That's it. We get this right. I mean, that should charge you up.
That's good.
A lot of people think they're a mistake. A lot of, I go into prison, they're products of rape. These kids are, I wasn't planned. I'm a product of rape. I'm not supposed to be here, so I'm just going to do whatever I can do, damage I can do before I go out. No. You won. God was there, buddy. They get excited. These kids get excited.
I wanted to make him a suit, but he would never wear it to do the whole.
She's a visual aid person, so she wanted to make this big black rubber suit that I'm supposed to jump around in. You know that's not going to happen. I'm the head of my home. That ain't going down, buddy. Okay. Thank you for this one tonight, brother, but don't come back. Okay. But some of them might say, hey, man, I get that guy comes back with another suit.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah 61.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 61. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Yes. Amen.
And this is a description of you.
Yes.
God's anointed. And this describes the basic ministry that Jesus passed on to his church.
Yes.
Okay. And also in Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Amen. Now, I want you to realize in the Greek, is this thing on? Did I lose it?
Okay. In this passage here, when it says that he was moved with compassion, what it means is Jesus was moved with compassion from heaven and came down, did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, but gave it up and took the form of man to save man. Okay? And then when he sees his people like sheep without a shepherd, he's moved with compassion from the inside, his spirit man, our bowels, inside here. He's moved to do something. And he heals the sick, sets them free.
Yes.
And then he says, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray ye, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest, which is him, that he may send out workers. Now, he's not saying, okay, well, God, I really hope you send out Muriel because I just think Muriel should go. You know, hey, pick on Rick Cross because he should go, Lord. I just send this guy. No, he's saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out workers. You.
Yeah.
And really, that word send is the same in the Greek, the same as moved with compassion. Because when we, Pastor said the other day about coming to the altar, I was raised at the altar. When I got saved, it was every Sunday I was at the altar. I was laying my cigarettes down 1 week and then down again the next week. And I was doing this. And and every time my pastor preached, I was found myself at the altar giving it up. Okay? And having compassion, we begin to have compassion for the lost, it'll send you.
Yes.
And we don't have compassion anymore for the lost. We don't cry for the lost. We think we're doing okay and we just got to get through this recession. But there's people out there going to hell.
Yes.
I may die poor, I'm going to heaven. Okay, if they die rich, they're going to hell, and you don't want your worst enemy to go there. If you ever got a real glimpse of what hell really is like, you don't want anybody to go there. You'll begin to weep and cry and weep for the lost. And when you begin to get that compassion, let me tell you what, when you go out there and you go to work and you see that person and you know by the way they talk where they are spiritually, it's a wonder. Sometimes I'm on the job, in a construction job, and I'm talking to guys that got hammers on their hips, okay? And I begin to weep right in front of them because I realize where they are, and they're nowhere near God.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you get that, that's when it says, send out workers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that you may receive His compassion, and it will send you out.
Yes.
Isaiah 60.
Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read them to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you.
That's you.
And Philippians 2:15 says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Amen.
Okay, keep that in mind, okay? Jesus, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm a very visual person, like Dwayne said, and we'll just go on. Jesus told parables using everyday examples and usually painted a good visual picture with words. And this is how He speaks to me, just like you said, Pastor Cindy, on Sunday, and was a really good example. So when He shows me things, I like to display objects and when I want to share something that the Lord has shown me. So I'm going to do a little illustration, and hopefully it will leave an impact in your memory for the days ahead. Sometimes what we see leaves an imprint in our minds more than other types of media. And that's why it's important to be careful what goes in our eye gate.
Yes.
So, okay, I'm going to try to read because I got it written down. I'm not, you know, my husband, I tell you that this is a pulpit. And my husband tells you this is a pulpit and this side is a pulpit and this is a pulpit and this is a pulpit. Anyway, okay. This is my illustration. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I need more arms. Okay. This black fabric represents the darkness that is in the world.
Yep.
And I think we as Christians have a somewhat distorted view of what it means to us, the darkness, the devil, and things along that line. So I'm going to quote some things from Bill Johnson. I don't know if anybody of you know him, but he's a pastor out in California. I'm going to quote some things that he has written concerning this, and I hope it will help us to think with more accuracy about the darkness. Okay, this is a lot, so put on your spiritual ears.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, impart. There is a mountain of opposition against the purposes of God for this world. There are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's from Ephesians 6:12. But the devil's dark realm is not getting any bigger. When he rebelled against God, he was removed from his life source. He walks around as a roaring lion, hoping to intimidate through noise.
That's right.
His noise, the constant report of bad news, is designed to give the illusion of greatness.
Yeah.
But it is not so.
Amen. That's right.
Hell is not the realm that Satan rules from. It is not a place where he takes people and torments them for eternity. It is a place of eternal torment designed for him and his demons. Those who are slaves of the devil will suffer the same demise. On another note, demons aren't being made anymore. There's the same number wandering around the planet today as there were in Jesus' day. Yet the population of people has increased into the billions, with believers numbering in the hundreds of millions. On top of that, we all know from Scripture that there are two angels for every demon. And since Jesus has all authority, that leaves none for the devil. All that Jesus possesses has been handed over to us.
Yes.
His great plan is not designed so he will come and rescue us from the devil. It's the gates of hell that will not prevail against the advancing church. Jesus' authority has been given to us to do great exploits.
Come on.
So we should declare that we will win for the Lamb the reward of his suffering.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. So looking at the black here, keep in mind everything I just said. And I believe that the church is coming out of hiding and no longer going to be cave dwellers in training.
Come on.
But that we will arise and shine, like the verse I just read to you out of Isaiah 6:60. And these days of testing and training, that we're being transformed into a powerful influence in the earth as the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in his glory through the lives of believers. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 that you are the light of the world. And as we follow and obey the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed into the image of Jesus. Like Pastor Norris said on Sunday, the Lord is chipping away those places in us that don't belong, chiseling away to make us into something beautiful. And then when we are in those places of darkness, like here in the world, we'll shine because the glory of the Lord is upon us. And this is the picture that God showed me, and to get the fabric, get a little thingy to put this on, but this is you.
Come on. You want me to talk? This is you.
This is you.
Yeah, baby.
Come on.
Come on. That's me. Right there.
And then this is the darkness. And then when you're placed, you may not be able to see it very well. When you're placed in that darkness,
good.
And then when this darkness is here and you're placed here, this outshines all of this, right?
That's right.
That's what God is going to use to draw people. And this is what we look like. You know how a jeweler, he does the same thing. He puts his finest, most expensive diamonds and everything
on display.
Let me get my place here. Anyway, this is what God wants to do in us so that his glory can be seen and people's lives can be transformed and changed and redeemed. So the picture is the world in its darkness and you as an individual and also as a part of the body of Christ. So I want to read the scripture again to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. You going to do that?
Yeah, we're going to try this. I don't know if this will work. We tried it at home, but this is a light. And when we shine it at home, it really did a lot of things up on the ceiling. But when the Lord shines his light on us, we really stand out in darkness. Here's what we do. We become this, and we stay out here in the light in the church.
Right.
And we show each other who we are, and we all do this, and it's not that effective. And the light shining in the light, I mean...
Right.
You know, we want to get out into the darkness where we really shine. Because it's out here where we really begin to shine and the manifold wisdom of God is displayed. And all these multifaceted things are who we are.
Amen.
Right.
Now.
And then in Ephesians, let me just read
this
one. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. But let me just read to you what Ephesians 5:8-14 says. And concerning this, keep this picture in your mind. I'm sorry it didn't work like I had
hoped. It worked well.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Mm. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Amen. It also says, if you just turn back to Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now here's a, we also got this out. This is what we were. And through some of the things that I understand Paulette was teaching, through adversity and trials and tribulations, we're put under pressure. And you know what you do with a piece of coal, what happens to a piece of coal when it gets put under pressure? It changes, it becomes that. But this is what we still think we are.
Come on.
Okay, you'll hear it when people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Have you heard it? Hopefully none of you say it. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint.
Yes.
That's who I am. I may still be falling short in areas of my life, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint.
Amen.
I've been changed into that. I no longer look like this.
Come on. Amen.
Come on now. We got to get a hold of this.
Come on.
See, from the moment you're born again, you should be casting out demons and healing the sick.
Come on.
What happened is we get too churchy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the hardest people for pastors to work with are those that have been to all the churches in the neighborhood and then they come to yours. Because then you've got to tear them all down and to get them back to where they've got to realize who they are. It's sometimes it's a whole lot easier to get that scum guy off the street, get him in here, get him saved. I told Pastor about a guy we saved years ago. I went with my pastor, and when he came to church, he had raggedy clothes to where, I mean, his body parts were showing, but he came to church and got saved. The next week he had a new pair of pants. The next week he had a new shirt. The next week he got a haircut. The next week he had a brand new pair of shoes. He ended up marrying a girl in the church and did all kinds of ministry in the church. And it was a whole lot easier to work with him than it was to tear down all this religiosity that comes, okay, from all these other things. We need to get back to who we are and what we can do and do it.
Yes.
Praise God. Where are we now?
Oh,
are we running out of time? Praise God.
Now?
We're trying to get this done here. We got a lot. I haven't preached in 4, 5, 6 months here. Praise God.
You're on 61.
It's dangerous.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 60. Let's go back to Isaiah 60 again. Because we read Isaiah 61 and 2.
I think you want to go to 61:4.
No, this one first. I rewrote it.
Oh.
I put mine in my notes. I put it ahead.
Collaboration.
Now, arise, shine, faith red, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, okay, and the deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Listen to verse 3 through 5. The Gentiles shall come to your light. Come on now. What else does it say? And kings to the brightness of your rising. I don't care if you're a pauper in the kingdom of God. If God's light is shining on you, kings will come to you.
Come on, brother. Yes. Tell it.
He was talking about millionaires coming to this church. That's what we're talking about. Kings are talking about people who are influential in the world, who have authority and power. They'll come to the light.
Come on. Come on, brother.
Here's an illustration. Do this. Put your hands together like that. You know what you got? You got a handful of darkness. Go ahead, peer in there. Boy, it's nothing but dark in there. Now watch what happens when you release. Let's everybody release our darkness in the room. Ready? Oh, darkness went away. Why? Because there's light.
Yeah.
When you walk into a room, that room is now illuminated by the Spirit of God,
yes.
And every demon and devil in darkness is trembling and scared to death of you.
Yeah.
That's why I say when you go into a place, you change the atmosphere. I came in with the King. He said if I open my mouth, He'll fill it.
Yes.
He said if I lay my hands on you, you'll get set free. Yes. You'll get healed. Sickness has to go.
Yes.
It falls off. Who did I shake hands with? I shook hands with Tomo tonight. He didn't want me to because he's sick. I said when germs touch me, they die. Germs can't touch the Holy Ghost and live. They die. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Him that raised you from the grave will quicken your mortal body.
Yes.
Are you getting a picture of who you are? Now, this isn't something you got attained to be.
Right.
This is something you are. The Bible says, study the word to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Right.
It isn't that you got to study to say, oh, now I'm worthy to preach. No, we study the word to show who? Ourselves, that we are approved.
Right. Yeah.
When you accept Jesus Christ, you're approved. And I'm a workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Right.
Sure, I fall short in areas. If you live with me, you'll wonder why how I do what I do. Okay? You should have seen me when I got my ticket. But God didn't leave me, and He didn't forsake me.
Come on.
I'm the same man, full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Okay. Come on now. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come
yes.
to you.
Yes.
See, when I read the scriptures, I read something like that. Oh, man,
yes.
I start dancing. Buddy, all the sea is going to be turned to me.
Yes.
That means I'm going fishing today.
Come on.
I don't need a boat to catch a lot. God can call them all to come right up to the shore and jump out into my lap. I just carry them away with buckets.
Come on, brother.
And not only that, there's a fish out there with a gold coin in it that's mine to pay my taxes. I believe this, folks. Exactly right. He can lead you right. He can lead you right to a buried treasure. I firmly believe, living in Boynton all my life, that there is buried treasure out here. When I was a kid and the hurricanes used to blow all the trailers apart, I used to go out here on the intercoastal and we'd take a whole side of a trailer that blew apart and we'd four or five of us kids would get on and we'd go down the intercoastal. We'd be collecting TVs and radios, anything that was blown into the woods, we'd lay it on that thing. Okay. Now let's go back to Isaiah 61. I'm not done.
Good,
yeah.
The rest is yours.
Okay. Watch out. She's leaving me alone and she doesn't do that. Isaiah 61:4. Now that we know that and the riches and all that and the kings are coming to us and it says here that this is who we are, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and all that and the planting of the Lord. We're the planting of the Lord that He may be glorified. And verse 4, and they shall build... rebuild the old ruins, they shall rise up former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations.
Amen.
Let me tell you what, there's history here.
Yep. Come on, yes. Tell it, brother.
And we're here, with this. The anointing of the Lord is on us to rebuild those things, what God intended, and a lot of things have happened in this church, pastors have come and gone, but this is the chosen generation, and God wants to rebuild the city,
yes.
and He wants to touch,
yes.
and He wants to build up the generations, and this is what He's doing.
Yes.
Now, you got to get a hold of this.
Yeah.
If you're part of this body, not just this church, but the body of Christ and this body, we've got to get conformed into what God is doing and what He says in His Word, be
yes.
men and women of the Word, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, come into unity and get the job done and do
yes,
the stuff.
Brother. Come on.
Pastor is not going to get upset if he finds out you're casting out demons. And he's not going to get upset if he finds out you're raising the dead.
Come
he's
on.
Not. I'm telling you he's not. Just to prove it, he's let me preach. He isn't intimidated or scared by any of you and your ministry. So why are we teaching these things? To develop an evangelistic culture in us at Grace Community.
Come on.
That's what we're doing. To develop an evangelistic culture in us here at Grace Community.
Yes. Yes.
We just don't want another program.
Come on.
But a DNA of reaching the lost that's passed on to everyone that comes in and alongside of us.
Yes, brother.
Yes.
We need a DNA of an evangelistic culture that everything we do, say, breathe, and think is about reaching the lost and getting them set free and into the kingdom. Don't worry about how much you got to learn in the Lord before you do it. Just do it.
Yes.
When I got born again on Friday night, November 12, 1982, Saturday, I was preaching on the job and told my brother that you've got to, guess what, fellas, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior last night, and you all are going to hell unless you do the same.
Come on.
And they laughed at me. And I had a paperback Bible and did not know anything in the Word of God.
Yeah.
But I had a paperback Bible, and on the break times and the lunch times, they would say, I would take it out, and they'd ask me all kinds of crazy, wild, nasty questions about heaven and about God, and gave me all their philosophies. And you know what I'd say? I'd say, and I realized this later on in years, I'd say, I don't know. And somehow I found myself in Corinthians, and I says, but listen to this. I don't know the answer to that question, but listen to this.
Yeah.
And I would read a paragraph of the Word of God and did not know what I was reading. Which caused them to think of all other kinds of questions they wanted to ask me, begin to ask me questions, and I would say, I don't know, but listen to this. And I would flip the page and read another paragraph.
Come on, brother.
And within one night, from November 12th to November 13th, I was a scholar because they thought I knew everything that was in the Bible. And I knew Barry Roone, Dr. Barry Roone used to go to this church. And when he preached, he used to say, 60% of my sermon is the Word of God. That way I know 60% of my sermon is right.
Come on.
If you ain't got nothing better to do, read the Scriptures to somebody.
Come on.
God will do His job.
Come on.
Okay. Now, I'm telling you, since I've been coming here, I've just been excited. I mean, you know, when you pastor a church for 11 and a half years and you go from starting out with 5 and you go all the way up to 50, 60, 75 people and you dwell back down to 20 and then you go back in the home and then you go back out and you go back up to 60, 75 people and then you go back down to 5, you kind of wonder what God is doing in your life. But since I've been coming here, God is just encouraging me and showing me and teaching me and reaffirming my gift and my calling to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I am so excited.
Yeah.
And everything that God is teaching us through our pastor, okay, I tell you, I'm keeping notes. I got a record of things. I keep in my Bible the purpose of our church, the vision of our church, all the things that he's saying up for us to read, how to pray for our pastors. I keep it. I took them out because it just all falls out if I use it. But I got them at home and I keep them right in my Bible here. And he taught on this one. And I love this. I'm so excited about this. This is defining. And listen to me. Defining our church. Two philosophies contrasted. Now, when I read this, this is where I put on my spiritual ears. It says right here, defining our church. You know what that tells me? He's telling us what's going to define our church.
Come on.
And just like he says on Sunday when he says, you know, it's not the great suggestion. It's the great commandment.
That's right.
And pastor just didn't put that on there to entertain you. He's trying to tell you something. This is a defining of our church.
Come on.
So if you're going to get in line with what's going on here, why don't you read what it says about what he wants for our church? You don't have to ask all these wild, crazy questions. So, Pastor, what do you think about this? I wrote that out. It's right here. Watch this. Church as a force. This is a church as a force. I'm not going to read the church as a field because we don't want to be the field. We don't want to be introspective. We want to go out. So the church is a force. The kingdom of God suffered violent, but the violent take it by force. It means the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing.
Yes.
Whether you're going along with it or not, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing out there. But then it says, forceful men and women lay hold of it.
Yeah.
And what that really means is you got to really work at getting a hold of it.
Come on.
You just can't lay hold of it passively.
Come on, brother.
It'll slip right through your fingers. You've got to jump in with both hands and both feet. You've got to do everything. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to give up the TV. You've got to give up some sideline activities, maybe some relatives, maybe some fellowships.
Uh-oh.
You need to give them up. You need to get in the Word of God and find out what the kingdom is doing. Grab a hold of it and hang on for the ride.
That's a good word.
Because you can't hang out in the world in darkness and then think you're going to go out and cast out demons and stuff. They'll beat you up, just like the 7 sons of Sceva, and leave you naked on the side of the road. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying the he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you.
Amen.
I'm excited. Watch this. Church is a filling station for the saints to get ready to go back into the field.
Yes.
Yep.
We're not here just to show everybody our light. We're here to take this thing, not to go up to the brother deacon and say, look who I am today. I'll be this next Sunday. It's to say, look, I'm going out. And then you take us out into the darkness and shine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you realize that, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that they just include everybody in church. Well, this is our brother. And I say, oh, yeah, you're born again? Oh, well, wait a minute. If you're not born again, the Bible says you're a child of the devil.
Come on. Come on. It's a word.
Yeah. A lot of people don't want to hear that.
Yeah. Too bad.
Even, I mean, I'm talking about some money people. I'm talking about people that are influential.
Come on.
Okay, so the field is the world, Matthew 13, 38. The field is the primary place where the work is done.
Come on.
Well, let's go to church and, you know. You know what happens in church? We're so needy. I even watch what we sing. Because if we sing songs that's all about me and I need, I don't want to sing them.
Come on.
All my needs are met in Jesus Christ. I want to sing songs about Him. I want to sing songs about the blood. I want to sing songs about Calvary. I want to sing songs about going out and setting people free. That's what I want to sing about. I want to sing about Him. Okay? We need to, you know, the Bible says that to love God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength.
Yeah.
And then to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't say to love yourself. It does not say to love yourself. Now, we know that in order to be effective, we need to love ourselves. We need to take. We need to know who we are. And there is a part where we do need to. But how do we do that? If it doesn't say to do that, how do we do that? How do you love yourself the best way you can love yourself? By loving God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength.
Come on.
You cannot spend hours in time in prayer with God, fellowship with God, and start getting happy and start dancing and singing and then go out with the mully grubs and get beat up.
Come on.
And nobody can tell you that you're not worth nothing.
Come on.
Because you know who you are in Christ. Amen. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And I'll tell you what, in that you'll find out who you are. He preached a sermon one day where he said, Our life is hidden in Christ. I never realized that before. I never really saw that scripture. He said, I about come out of my seat. Well, I could have ran around this building. Our life is hidden in Christ. Well, then we ought to be spending time with Him to find out who we are.
Come on.
I don't need to go to some health self-help program to find out who I am. I don't need to go to AA programs or some other program. I need to spend time with Jesus to find out who I am.
Come on.
Okay.
He knows.
Okay. Yeah, He does. And He made you and developed you and He's got a gifting and a plan. Okay. The church is people enabled to serve and meet people's needs everywhere. Church is people enabled to serve and meet people's needs everywhere. Ephesians 4:12. We're learning this as He teaches us about our gift. It's so that you can take that gift, love God, and serve people.
Yes.
Love God. Simple. Love God. Serve people. We worship, we pray, we fellowship, we learn. Acts 2:42-47. That's what we're here to do. Our goal is to get everyone to go out into the field and meet the needs of the people. This is what Pastor gave us to read. He made a thing of it. Church. Okay, as a force. Believers are equipped to minister to the needs of others. Again, Ephesians 4:11-12. Directs ministry away from the professionals into the hands of the people. We don't have to go to some doctor who can cut you open and operate you. I can play the blood of Jesus on you and raise you up just as quick.
Come on.
Now, I'm not saying we don't have no need of doctors, but I'm saying we need to inquire of the Lord first.
First. Yes.
Inquire of the Lord first. And guess what? If you start inquiring, you know, the Bible says also, it says in, I think it's Isaiah 45, it says, ask me concerning my children and commit to me the works of my hands. Mm-hmm. Well, Lord, What about Pastor? Lord, just tell me about Pastor. What about? And I'm praying to the Lord. He says, ask me concerning my children. Pastor's His child. Lord, what about? And all of a sudden, the pastor downloads something into you about your pastor. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be good. Okay? And He's going to download it to you. And guess what? Once the Lord tells you He's going to do something, He's not a liar.
Come on.
You know when you promise something, you're committed to do it? So if God tells you something about a brother or sister in the Lord, He's committed to do it.
Come on.
We may fall short of our commitment, but He never will. So the minute He tells you something, it commits His hands to do the job. That's why we pray for others. How can I serve them? How can I help them? You want me to go pray for them? You want me to raise them up? You want me to bless them? You want me to give them a gift? All arrows flow out focuses on the needs of others. Believers exercising their God-given gifts, Romans 12, 4 through 8. We're going to be learning that. Motivation is to get the saints to go out. Real evangelism. Sheep reproduce sheep. Now, it says right here, defining our church. You shouldn't be, get one of these. Anytime you wonder about your church, read this.
Come on.
I love it. Am I too hard here?
Good.
That's good. Okay, good. Because I ran all my people off in my church. Except for Muriel. She's so faithful. She loves me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with this. A couple things here. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be a witness." Oh, I'm finishing up just in time. "You will be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." That's you. You will receive power. If you don't have the baptism, we don't preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I say we. Pastor does. That's why I like it here. He's all about the Spirit of God. I love it so much. I've got the freedom to sing and dance and shout and pray in the Holy Ghost and get excited about God. I love my freedom here. I'm telling you what.
Amen.
Okay? And he is all about getting us baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? So we can be endued with power.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying if you don't have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, you're not a Christian going to heaven. But I'm saying we need to be endued with power.
Yes.
And we've been given this gift for a reason, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Why? Because without faith, you can't please God. You can't do a ministry, okay, without and not do it in faith and please God. You need faith, and we need to build ourselves up and endued with power. He told them, don't go anywhere. Go to Jerusalem and tarry till you receive power. It's important that we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this still is a Pentecostal church. This is a church about the gifts. Let me tell you. That's what, and we need to get a hold of that's who we are. That's our DNA. We need to get excited and dance a little bit. Get excited. Come up here around the altar.
Come on.
Man. I do it. I'm. You know what? I know y'all see me because I... My wife tells me I'm out there a lot, but I'm still reserved. You haven't seen it all. I'm scared sometimes to let loose, okay, because I just keep getting fed by the pastor. He keeps saying, keep going, brother, keep going. You're doing all right. Well, I told him, the prophet is subject to the prophet, so if I go too far, he'll hold me back, and I'll listen. Praise God. Now, watch this. Their witness for Christ was to begin in Jerusalem, and it was very effective in Jerusalem. A few months after the birth of the church, the disciples were brought to court, and the charges against them were this: "You have filled the whole city with this man's Jesus doctrine." Now that was a successful church.
Wow. What a commendation.
Would to God that we could be brought to court and the charges against us are that we filled the whole city of Boynton Beach with the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Brother.
I'd say praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on now. This is our. This is what.
Yes.
Don't think that you can go into the world and over into Samaria and all these other places if we're not doing it in Jerusalem.
You're right.
There's an order. God is a God of order. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm believing for the day, okay, when our city officials begin to do things right and we see signs, okay, even on the road, and our activities that the city puts on has that godly touch in it where they realize we've touched this city. And why not through Grace Community?
Why not? Why not?
Why can't the mayor of this city come to this church? Why can't the fire chief and the police chief come to this church? Because somebody was bold enough. Because they got to work in their home, or they knew somebody who knew somebody that didn't keep their mouth shut, that said, you know what? I've been praying about, God told me to pray about his children, and the Lord deposited in my spirit last night that he loves you. We've done this. Me and Faith have gone to people's house, and they were ready to commit suicide because God told us, go there today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Come on.
Huh? Dr. Brazil minister last Saturday. Who was all here listening to Dr. Brazil? At the Women's Glow? You were here? I did a revival with her in Del Rey through Sister Salvery. And they came to my church once, and then they asked me to come. I showed up. I wasn't planning on preaching. And she said, tonight's the opening night, Monday night. She says, the Lord is telling me, Pastor, that he wants you to speak tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Would you do it? I said, sure, I'd be glad to. Sister Brazil was supposed to preach Wednesday night. So I preached on Tuesday night, and I have a couple pet peeves of that because of my character and who I am about the body of Christ and Christians. And I said that night in my sermon, I said, you know, what gets me is that if all the Christian teachers who say they're Christian, all the teachers in Palm Beach County who say they're Christians and working in the public school system, if if they would stand up and say, we're not going to take it anymore. If she can have a Buddha on her desk, I can have a picture of Jesus on mine. If they can do that, I can have the Ten Commandments and I can have the Bible. And if you don't let me, okay, you're going to have to fire me because I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If all the teachers who say they're Christian would stand up to do this, the public school system would shut down because they'd all be fired and they'd have not enough teachers to teach.
Come on.
I'm telling you that's true.
Amen.
Okay? If they got fired because of their faith and they fired all the ones, I mean, if all the Christians did it together one time, boom, the public school system would have to shut down because there wouldn't be enough teachers. Where would they get them? They'd be shut down until they tried to fulfill them with other people, and they wouldn't have that good of degrees to be teaching, but they'd want to fill the spots because it might get worse. But, or they might say, you know what, we need you. We would shut the public school system down. Well, Sister Brazil comes on Wednesday night and preaches, and she says, she starts to preach. She says, I got to tell you this, Pastor, I was convicted about what you preached last night. She says, you know, I am in charge of all the curriculum that comes into the Palm Beach County school system. And she says, today I was going over the curriculum and they were asking me to vote on this curriculum that they wanted to accept in the Palm Beach County school system. And it was all about dragons and devils, and it's stuff that would enhance literature and enhance math or whatever it was, but it was all demonic. And I was pacing back and forth in the office like this and not wondering what I was going to do. And all I could hear was what you preached last night. And I'm just going like this. And everybody in the room said, now, Sister Brazil, we know something's wrong. And she said, well, I don't know if I can tell you. She said, just let us have it. She says, this is ungodly, demonic, and I am not for this curriculum that they want in this school system. And all of them in the room stood up and said, amen, we're with you. And they shut down. They shut down that curriculum. Because someone stood up and said something.
Yeah.
That's what God wants us to do. When I work on the job, well, that's in the how. That's down in the how. Okay. Now, if you were brought to court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So, the next week we'll be ministering on some more of who we are as a church. And the transition into the what, which is the kingdom. Because although we are the church, Jesus mentioned us only 3 times, the church, whereas the kingdom of God is mentioned over 130 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Father, I thank you for tonight. I'm going to turn it back over. I'm going to turn it over to you. I was told by my wife to turn it back over to you at this point. I'll let you close.
I'm brother, you can pray.
I can pray.
Hallelujah. Pray up a storm. Wasn't that good? On about you, but I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'll tell y'all a secret. I just had all these people come in just for me. Hallelujah. Y'all get to get in on it too. Hey, it's good for me. I get fed. Man, I'm telling you. You know, I sit down here. I got my Bible. I take notes. You know, I don't want to ever get to the place where I think I've learned and heard it all. Amen. Because it doesn't matter how many times I've read a scripture, I've heard somebody teach or preach on something. I know this. If I'll have my mind open and my heart open, the Holy Spirit will give me a glimpse that I've never seen just that way before. And all of a sudden, man, it's like, used to how you get the booster shot. You know, you didn't get the shot over, you got a booster. You know, boost what you already have. That's the way it is. When the Word of God's preached and taught, or you're reading the Word of God, and you reach that thing, don't be thinking, oh, I've heard this before. No, you know what? If you'll be open, boom, you'll get a booster. And it just, you know what it does? It kicks up the strength of that thing. Man, faith rise up in me. Man, I feel like, man, I'm ready to, whoo. You're going to have to hold my mule here, as the farmer says. Appreciate that. Good word, good word. Listen, tell other people, invite them out. Invite them on Wednesday night. People in the body, people you know, friends, lost, saved, anywhere in between, whatever. Just bring, you know, let them sit under the anointing of the Word of God and in the gift of God, and it will change their life. Amen. I want to always be growing. How about you, brother? I'm telling you. You know, I tell you all the time, it's the truth, though. Biggest room in my life, room for improvement. Hallelujah. Well, we want to give you an opportunity to give to the Lord, if you would like to tonight before we dismiss. We're going to ask the ushers if they would, guys, come on up here. If you would like an envelope, they'll give you one. Hallelujah. Jesus said this. He said, if you give, it's going to be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You tell me God's not a God of more than enough? I mean, it'd have been good if he'd just said give, and it's going to be given back to you. That'd been good, wouldn't it?